the Old Testament, as we're in this series on receiving God's extraordinary blessings. One of the smallest prayers recorded in the Bible. The prayer quickly prays this prayer. He is on the scenes, and then he is gone. But he doesn't leave without making an eternal impact. It has been said that there's little difference between men and women, but that little difference makes up all the difference in the world. While you're turning to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, let me ask you a question. Do you believe, honestly and truly, that the God that created you to bless you? It is amazing how many people will be in the house of God all over the world today, and yet they're there thinking only one thing. All God is out to do is point out their sin, point out judgment, and to deal out discipline. And so they never become oriented to really the God of Scripture. Their God, in their mind, is a God who is hard, harsh, domineering, and dogmatic. And I'll be honest with you, I would struggle going to church if that's who God was in my mind. But yet, sadly, there are so many individuals who live their lives believing just that. But do you believe that the Father who gave you life, and if you're a child of God, wants His absolute best for your life? Well, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. You know, this is just a simple and small prayer, but it has eternal impact. And I want you to listen to what happens. It's a prayer of Jabez and of all the people that are named in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, he is mentioned significantly more than anyone else. Listen to these two verses of Scripture. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Look at the last part. And God granted him that which he requested. A very simple prayer. Jabez prays this prayer, and you'll not find him anymore in the Bible. He is on the scenes of Scripture, and then he is gone. But this prayer is not mentioned until it's said that God heard the prayer of Jabez, and the God of heaven heard him pray this prayer over and over and over again. And the Bible says God the Father granted exactly what he prayed. Do you believe that the God who created you has created you to enjoy and to experience abundance of blessings that he has in store? Now, chances are you may be saying, well, now that's just not the God that I'm acquainted with. I don't really know of that type of God. But you can go all the way back to the Old Testament, and Psalms chapter 31 makes it very clear in verse 19. The Bible says, David is speaking, you have stored up great blessings for those who trust and reverence you. You can go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28, and here's what God says through Moses. All these blessings will come upon you, overtake you, if you fully obey the Lord and follow all that he says this day. The God that has created you has not created you just to live a life of mediocrity. And sadly, so many individuals are settling on less than what the Father has in store because they've just come to believe, well, you know, all God wants to do is save my soul, and that's enough. And yes, that is enough. But the God of the Bible is limitless in his power and in his desire to bless your life and mine. A servant of God said this about this simple prayer. He said, with the exception of the prayer of salvation, the prayer of Jabez has affected my life more than any other prayer that I've ever prayed in my life. And that was Bruce Wilkinson who wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez. Well, if God wants you to have an extraordinary life, then the question has to be asked, why are so many not? Why are so many just barely making it through life, living a life of mediocrity? They're not really enjoying the abundance of the blessings of God. And you look at them and they're a terrible example when it comes to Almighty God. In other words, they're barely making it by the skin of their teeth. There's just nothing really happening in their life that's very significant. And really, one of the first things you can say is this. One of the things that shuts down the activity of God in our life and His blessings is simple unbelief. There's a passage over in Matthew. You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says Jesus was walking through a particular city, and the Bible makes this comment. Jesus couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Do you realize what you believe and do not believe about holy God makes all the difference in the world? It's not that God can't, but unbelief literally shuts down the activity of God. And sadly, we've heard so many messages and heard so many people talk about God in such a negative light. Let me ask you a question. If God was a negative God, why would He put Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden and want them to have absolutely the best of everything and give them the best of everything? You see, the devil loves to paint on the fabric of your mind an altered perspective of who God is. And so I want you to follow along with me this morning and outline, and I want you to look very carefully, because if you and I are going to receive the blessings of God, then there are some things that you and I have to do. Now, you're saying this, well, Pastor, if God wanted me to have the blessings of God, He would just pour them out from heaven. There's only one problem with that statement. It completely violates the Word of God. Because all throughout the Bible, the Lord says, ask and you will receive. In other words, there's something you and I have to do if we're going to have a blessed life. Now, am I saying that God's going to fill your life with an abundance of finances? That's not the most important thing when everything is said and done, right? There was a tsunami this past week, and all those people who may have had hundreds and thousands of dollars and had resources, it didn't really matter a whole lot, did it? Because the Bible makes it very clear that everything in our life can go up in a vapor just like that. And we need to be in prayer for all the victims that are involved and for those who are coordinating. But the God of Scripture has created you, and He wants you to live with a proper understanding of why He has created you and how He has created you. And the fact is this, He wants you to understand that He has created you to experience and to walk in His extraordinary blessings. Because the Bible simply says this in the prayer of Jabez. Jabez just, you know, he was more honorable. And as he looked around, he realized about his life, surely there's more to life than the way my brothers and my sisters and my friends and my relatives are living. Surely there's more to life than this. And so he began to call on God. He began to ask God. And all of a sudden, something started happening in his life. God started doing things in his life simply because he made it his business to call on the Lord. But if you're going to receive the extraordinary blessings of God, there's one thing that has to happen. First of all, you have to acknowledge that you've been created to be blessed. Now, listen to me very carefully. How many of you, don't you dare answer this out loud, how many of you believe that God created you to bless you? Let me ask you a question. Let's go back to the Bible, because there's no other reference but the Word of God. When God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He put them in the best environment, in the best location. They experienced the best of God's blessings, and that was the normality. Listen, can you imagine living in a paradise where absolutely the climate is wonderful, everything is wonderful, there is nothing negative in that environment? There's only two people in the world who know what perfection is and what a perfect earth looks like, and that was Adam and Eve. They looked on the earth and they experienced the best of God's blessings because they were created by God to have dominion and to experience a life of unity and oneness and blessings. Listen, one of the realities that has to take place in your life, my life, is this. You have to come to that place in your life and you have to say, Father, I've heard a lot of stuff in my life. Now listen, I'm a pastor and I'm a pastor's son and I've been in church for 52 years. But I can tell you this, I've heard enough preaching that is disorienting to the truth of the Word of God, which is grieving to the heart of the Father. God has not created you for the purpose of just pointing out sin and pointing out judgment and pointing out discipline. Now, don't misunderstand what I said. Will God point out sin? Absolutely. What loving parent in this sanctuary would not discipline their child? You love them, you'll discipline. That's not your focus. It's not the focus for you to point out sin and you to point out judgment and you to point out discipline. Let me ask you a question, parents. If your children came over to your house and all you did was talk about what they did wrong and what they needed to do right and how they needed to get their life correct, how much conversation would they have with you, or would they even want to come back? And yet, sadly, that is the reality of what so many people believe about God. They don't have an intimate fellowship, a relationship, because that's the way they're living their life. Listen, the God of Scripture loves you and is in love with you, and He wants you to understand He has not created you for just discipline and punishment. He has created you, and He wants to bless your life. Why in the world would He save you if He didn't want to bless you? Now, think about this a minute. Every born-again believer that dies, they're going to go where when they die? Heaven. Do you think God gives second-rate blessings in heaven? Do you think that your family and my family that's in heaven, they're not being blessed by the Father? Absolutely not. So here's the question you have to ask. Listen, the Bible says God is the same. He's the same in heaven. He's the same as it is on earth. Then why do we struggle? Because we live under deception. And whenever you look at this, prayer, listen, here's a man that prays a simple prayer, because he came to this realization. He owned up to the fact that I am created by God, and this God who created me loves to bless me. Listen, I want to challenge every single one of you in this sanctuary to pray this prayer and to pray it on a regular basis. And I'm going to promise every one of you this. If you pray this prayer with a pure heart and a clean heart, an open heart, an obedient heart, you'll come to me and you'll say, Pastor, I can't begin to tell you what God has done and how He's opened doors for my life. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's who He is. And that's the way He operates. And you see, in the life of Jabez, the same goes with you and me. The same God that blessed Jabez, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your life. Now, some of you say something like this in your heart. You don't know what I've done in my life, Pastor. You don't have any idea. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't even have to know what you've done in your life. Well, you don't know how many things I've been involved in and what I've done in my life and how many people I've been involved with and what I've ingested into my body and what I've allowed myself. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that God is love. Amen? Tell me a God who is love can want anything that's negative for your life. And you see, we struggle with that because we look at the world, well, you know, they don't deserve anything, and this person don't deserve anything. And we listen to a world that is so disoriented to God. First of all, they're not redeemed, and that's the world we live in. We live around unredeemed people. We live around people who don't know God, and yet they try to orient us. Well, surely God wouldn't want to do that for you. Listen, that's not the truth of the Bible. God is love. He has so many wonderful things for your life. But the issue is, are you going to believe it? Are you going to acknowledge Father? And see, this is a tough one. I told you where I was raised. And, you know, I told you I was raised in Millsboro, Kentucky on No Town Road. Wonderful climate, wonderful place. And then to say, Father, you created me to bless me after I was raised on a wonderful area, good subdivision. I mean, you could go from house to house and just depend on which liquor bottle you wanted to find. And, you know, I mean, there's everything all over the place. Some of you struggle with the reality that the Father's created you to bless you. Let me ask you this. If He didn't want to bless you, why would He save you? If He didn't want to bless you, why in the world would He save you and redeem you and give you eternal life? Isn't that the greatest blessing? To know that you know that you know you're going to leave this world and enter eternity. But you see, it's a wise person that says to themselves, Father, you've created me to bless you, and you want to bless me. Listen, you know, the biggest thing to overcome is the hurdle of unbelief. Because some of you have been so programmed by parents and grandparents and maybe great-grandparents, you say, well, I just can't believe that. You're going to have to take it up with God. You've got to take it up with the God who wrote this book. And you see, whenever it comes to Scripture, God makes it very clear. If I acknowledge, Jabez acknowledged, Father, you want to bless me. You'll never pray this prayer unless you acknowledge first that God wants to bless you. And another thing, second thing is this. One of the realities, if you're going to receive the blessings of God, is simply this. Asking and calling on God is the only path for blessing. Now, listen to me very carefully. You look at the Scriptures preceding this passage of Scripture, and I want you to go back to 1 Chronicles, the same chapter, And I want you to just look a couple of verses before it. And I just want to show you something. And just listen to this. In verse 7, verse 8, the sons of Heli were Zereth and Jeziar and Ethnan and Koz, Begad and Nub, and Zobiah and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you saying through those verses? They lived and they died and they expected nothing significant from God. Are you going to live and die expecting, asking nothing significant of Holy God who loves you? And Jabez was not going to live that way. He wasn't going to live his earthly life without experiencing the blessings of God. And you see, here's what happened. Jabez realized that, you know, if God's going to bless, then God relayed to his heart and his spirit, I need to ask. Listen, asking and calling on God is the only way to receive his blessings. I wish I could tell you some examples of people that have come to me and shared with me, and two individuals came and said, you know what, I began praying this prayer, and my business wasn't doing good, and I can't explain what God did in my business because I was just trying to be obedient and work and make a living and support my family, support my church, and all these different activities. Why? Because they asked God. Now, you know what happens a lot of times? We manipulate as much as we can manipulate, get as much as we can get, figure out as much as we can figure out. And then when crisis comes, we go to God. But the Bible says that Jabez called on the name of the Lord. Now listen, as Jabez called on the name of the Lord day after day after day, let me ask you a question. If you ask me to do something for you, I would do everything that I could within my power to help you. Now let me ask you another question. If you ask Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, into your situation, don't you think He would move heaven and earth? Now listen very carefully. Some of you don't. Some of you don't believe that God would do anything for you because, and then you come up with a whole bunch of reasons. And you see, the reality about it is that's what happens in so many lives. You know, in the life of Jabez, he called on the Lord. Now think about this a minute. What does God tell you and me to do to receive His abundance? Manipulate? No. If you look in your outline, just look at the verses of Scripture. You know, one of the simplest things of receiving from God is this, asking. A-S-K-I-N-G. Now, you know why that's so hard? We can't figure it out. If you ask, Father, I pray that you'd bless me, enlarge my coast, keep your hand upon me and keep me from the evil one, and God starts blessing your life and blessing your business and blessing your character and listen, there's nobody you can give credit to but Almighty God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, somebody says, well, how's your business increasing? How's all this happening in your life? Listen, you don't have an answer to give except, you know what? I've just made it my deliberate business to call on God. Now, I want to ask you a question, and don't you answer this out loud, but you answer it in your heart of hearts. Do you call on God on a regular basis in your life? And some of you would say, no, I was just raised, you know, you work as hard as you can and you fend for yourself, and then if God wants to do something in your life, then He'll do it. Can I tell you that is absolutely inconsistent with the Word of God? You can't prove what that reality by the Word of God. You can't prove it. You see, here's what the Bible says. Listen carefully. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and what's the next word? It shall be given to you. Listen, that was the case in Jabez's life. Father, bless me. Well, what blessings? Well, he left that up to God. You leave the blessing up to God. But the Bible says he was more honorable than all of us. But he began to ask. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. In Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And you see, here is Jabez. Lord, I just want to be blessed. I ask you to enlarge my coast, not for selfish purposes, but that I could bring glory to you. Listen, and let me go back and say this again. You say, is it right to pray for my business? Absolutely. If you're wanting every single jot and tittle of that business to bring honor to the Lord God, absolutely correct. Now, if you're wanting to ask God to bless you so you can hoard money and put money back and put money in a CD in a savings account and not be a blessing to anybody else, then squelch this entire prayer. It's not going to come to reality in your life. You know why? God never saves anybody or blesses anybody to be selfish. You were not saved to be selfish. Amen? You were saved to be a blessing. Now think about it. Think about the people that have been a blessing in your life and have come into your life and just shared the overflow of their life. I can think of so many people. They didn't give me money. They gave me a whole lot more. They gave me advice and they gave me counseling. They gave me themselves and they walked by my life. Listen, Jabez prayed, Father, I pray that you would bless me. But here's the reality. God won't answer your prayer and won't answer if you don't call. Listen, listen to what he says in James 14, 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Is it proper for the Father to bless you? Yes. Now let me ask you a question. If it wasn't proper for God to bless, why do you have the prayer of Jabez in the Bible? The Bible says, and Jabez called on the Lord, the God of Israel. And this is the only prayer of Jabez that's recorded. Did he pray this one time? No, he didn't. He prayed it over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because he knew that this God who, listen, the God who created him and loved him wanted to do good things. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you like to do some good things for your children? If you love your children, you love to. They'll tell you around September what they want for Christmas. Maybe a car, maybe a truck. May not be that big, but they know this. You love them and you want to provide whatever you can, your resources. Now listen carefully. The Bible says, if we then being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? There is no place in the Bible that says God's going to read your mind. God, if you want me to have something, you just pour it out. You know what that is? Laziness. Laziness, you know, God, you just bring it on. And if you've not received anything from God, I can challenge you with this. You're not asking. I can, when I start talking to people, and especially when counseling with people, I ask them this question from time to time. Are you asking? Or do you have a daily time in the Word of God? Are you calling out to God for your needs? Now, I want to ask every one of you, don't you dare answer this out loud. Are you in some type of hardship in your life, maybe a financial? And then the second question to this is, have you asked the Father? And you see, the reality of it is, you know, here's Jabez, and he gives you and me a good indicator. Listen, you call on God. You call on God not just monthly. Sometimes, you know, here's the reality. Sometimes we'll come to church and you'll pray on Sunday. Jabez, listen, the very word means he called on the God of Scripture. You can't call on the God of Scripture and God not answer. That's what he says. He says, ask. Benny, you ask and it'll be given you. You mean God will give me anything? No, he won't give you anything and everything. He'll never give you anything to hurt yourself. He'll never give you anything to devastate your life. And in the life of Jabez, you know, when you read the names of his relatives, you read the names of those of his friends and neighbors and family, you find out they weren't oriented to God, so they didn't get anything from God. Listen, the Bible says, and Jabez called on the name of the Lord. I wish I had time to share with you some testimonies of people that have prayed this prayer and God has touched their life in different ways. Why? Because they made it their business. The man who wrote the prayer of Jabez, Bruce Wilkinson, shared about his experiences in life and how he had prayed this prayer and God had just done immeasurably more than he could ever ask or think because he was consistent in praying this prayer. And you see, the thing about it is you've got to make a decision. There's got to be a decision time in your life. Am I going to call out to God or am I going to think about calling out to God? There's a world of difference. I've heard people say, well, you know, I ought to pray. I ought to ask. Did you hear me say at the very beginning? There's little difference between men, but that little difference makes all the difference in the world. Find this person over here that's receiving the blessings of God. God is hearing and moving and answering. And this person over here who's dried up and seemed like nothing happened, this person right here is calling upon the God of Scripture. He's asking, Father, that you would bless me. Listen, will God hear you? Yes, he'll hear you. He'll answer you. Why? Because he's created you. He loves you. He wants to bless your life. But here's what we say to ourselves. Well, I'm just not that blessable. He knows you. He knows your secrets too. But you know what? I love Ephesians 1:6. It says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. I'm not accepted because of who I am. I'm accepted because of who Jesus is. Well, look at number 3. You need to anticipate and watch after you ask. Now, one of the things that Jabez did as he prayed this prayer was simply this. He began to watch. And even the Bible says Jabez was more honorable. In other words, other people noticed his life. I'm getting excited about praying this prayer more and more in my own life. I began praying this prayer for a number of weeks. And I'm not only praying it for myself, but I'm praying it for the church. And I'm watching the Father as he brings and adds lives to the fellowship. I pray, Father, you bless us. Enlarge our coast. Keep your hand upon us and keep us from evil. Listen, will God hear an answer? Yes, he sure will. And you begin to watch. Now, listen very carefully. If you pray this prayer seriously, here's what you do. You've got to make the connection. Listen carefully. You've got to make the connection between praying and then what happens next. Jabez did. In other words, you can't just get on your knees and pray and then forget your prayer. I'm watching as God opens door after door after door. As I pray this prayer, listen, you've got to learn to make the connection. And when you say, ask God, God bless me, enlarge my coast, then watch. Watch what God does. I guess right now in Charlotte, in my life, this is one of the busiest times of our lives that we've ever had in our life. We was talking just the other day and how I just sort of teased and said, wonder what our house looks like. You know, and we was trying to go back and because we'd spent such little time there. And you know what happens? God opens door and opportunity and door and opportunity and door and opportunity because that's the way he works. That's just the nature of the Father. And you see, that's how he loves to operate. And whenever you say, Father, bless me, enlarge my coast. I'm excited about an opportunity next month. I have an opportunity to preach to a number of young pastors and affecting their lives as they minister and pastor. Have a chance to preach to many of them at Clear Creek. Have the opportunity with open doors that the Father... Why? Because the Father loves to answer. Now listen carefully. If you don't pray the prayer, it can't ever work. If you don't ever pray the prayer, and you see the reality about it is, you know, you have to make the connection. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you're saying, Pastor, are you saying that if I get on my knees and I pray this prayer, something will happen in my life? If you believe. You say, now that's just too good to be true. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. And that's why so many people won't try it. You get on your knees, and I challenge every one of you. You get on your knees, and you just pray this simple prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless me, enlarge my coast, keep your hand upon me, and keep me from the evil one. Today, Father, that I would not grieve you is my heart's prayer. You make sure your heart's clean, your spirit's clean, your life's clean. Let me ask you a question. When you pray that prayer, who are you praying it to? Are you praying it to the air? To the wind? To Almighty God. Don't you know and believe that he will move heaven and earth when you become oriented to him? You see, here's the reality. We live with such a meager belief in God. We think God is going to help us out. God's not going to help you out. He's going to orient you to himself, and he's going to open opportunities and doors. You see, the first thing we think about when we think about blessing is this. Money. Maybe you prayed this prayer and you say, well, I prayed that prayer for a month and God didn't bring any extra money into my life. Isn't it interesting how we get oriented to money quickly? You know why? Because a lot of times that's our focus. Now listen carefully. If you're not oriented to money, let me give you some good news. Listen up, listen. You're not oriented to money. You want to please God. You want to honor God. God has a way of bringing money by your life when you least expect it. Some of you have been blessed financially. You say, you know what? I didn't even realize this was coming by my life or that was coming by my life. I'm just trying to serve the Father. And that's exactly what he'll do. Jabez, the Bible said, he called on God. And as he called on God day after day after day after day, all of a sudden he noticed. Maybe somebody came by. The Bible doesn't say, but you can only speculate. Maybe somebody came by and gave him an opportunity and he had enlarged opportunity. Somebody wanted to find out, Jabez, What's happening? How can you explain what's happening in your life? How can you explain what's going on in your life? Let me give you an example. How can we explain what's going on at Faith? How can we say what's going on at Faith? Are any of you manipulating it? No, we're not. It's all of who? God. Say it loud like you believe it. It's all of who? God. Listen, he loves it when his people brag upon him and they worship him and they look back, Father, how are you doing this? That's what he loves to do. That's who he is. He's an ever-loving, ever-present, ever-caring God. And you see, but the issue is, are you oriented toward discipline? You know, and the thing about it is he opens opportunities. He gives open doors to you because he loves you. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't know a whole lot of the Word of God. I know very few scriptures. But the Bible says this in the book of James, and I love it. Elijah was a man subject to like passions just like us. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and it did rain. What's he saying? Calling on God. Now, here's the horrendous reality, and I want to say it, and I want you to listen carefully. Here is the horrendous reality. There are blessings the Father had in store for you, but you never even asked for them. There are blessings that he had in store for you last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. You say, well, if God wanted me to have them. No, I'm a daddy. It's fun being a parent. But you also realize this. There are a lot of things that would have never happened, you would have never given, if your child had never asked. Isn't that correct, parents? Say amen. All because they asked. Imagine what you've missed out on last year, year before, because you didn't call on God. You say, Pastor, is it possible to miss out? Yes, it is. All you have to do is just look at people around you. You look at people in Jabez time, look at people just skimping and scraping and all of that. And they're not oriented to calling on God. You know, lastly, call on God consistently. You know, the prayer of Jabez wasn't a one-time thing. Jabez prayed over and over and over and over again. And I love the last portion because the first part would be insignificant. Except the Bible says the last portion, I want you to read it. I want you to turn back and I want you to look at your copy of the scripture. And God granted him, start with me there. And God granted him that which he requested. Are you saying that he got what he asked for? Listen. Exactly what he asked for. How many of you are saved by accident? There's not a one of you that's saved by accident. God's never accidentally saved anybody. And God don't accidentally bless your life. I don't know about you, but for the rest of my life, I don't want to miss a single blessing from the Father. But I want to do my part. Now, what about your life? What are you missing out? You look at your life and you're barely squandering and you realize you don't call on God. Would you, right where you're sitting, if you're without Christ, he wants to save you. Most importantly, he wants to give you his salvation. He wants to give you abundant life if you come to him. Heavenly Father, we bow and praise you. Praise you, Father, for the simple reality that you bless. And Father, you bless when your people call. And Father, I pray that you would bless your church at Faith. Enlarge our coast. Keep your hand upon us and keep us from the evil one. That we would never grieve you, Father. Lord, it's not a mechanical prayer, but it's a prayer of the heart. And Father, there are people here to this morning that you're working in their life. Everyone is here on purpose because you've created them. and you've oriented them to be in the house of God today. They may have awakened this morning and just thought to themselves, but you even allowed them to have that thought. And Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for them. Father, for that man, for that woman, for that boy, that girl that's here this morning without Christ, I pray for them, Father. I pray that they would place their faith in Christ. And Lord, for those who are missing the blessings of the Father because they're simply not calling out to you, Lord, would you deal in their life today? Would you move in their spirit? Have your will in this invitation is our heart's prayer. In Christ we pray.